pretty mystique from this even if it's not.
Yeah.
I can play the end of Wednesday. The story should be a key to the book.
Thank you. I don't know what the context was there, but. Okay, let's start from here. Kuf Mem. Sod gadol tamun bekivun ze el amase. Anu regilim laniach ki si amadrigot litromem b'machshava el advarim shu kivshno sholam. We often think that our goal is to go high in our thoughts. Welcome. To go high in our thoughts, to think lofty thoughts, and to go like out of this world. And the more lofty things get, the more holy and high we're thinking, then we feel we're more connected to Hashem. But Chazal don't seem to think that way. Amar Rabbi Acha, halamed al menat lasot, zocheh lakbil ruach hakodesh. Ma atam, leman tishmor lasot, kechol hakatuv bo, ki az tatzliach derechecha, vaaz taskil, ve'ein taskil el ruach hakodesh, kmo shekatuv, maskil leitan ezrachi. Chazal say, this is Vayik Rabbah, that our goal is not to disconnect from the world. Sometimes people get into yeshiva, they get into thoughts, they're thinking lofty thoughts, they're thinking of themselves as growing and growing and growing, but they're actually moving away from their real self. Our goal is to be more connected, not less connected. Anything that we do which leads to more action, that's a sign that it's true. Now, obviously, when a person's learning something theoretical, it doesn't mean that he's immediately going to act on it. But if a person isn't thinking to himself constantly, how does this apply to me? What are my thoughts uniquely about this? But rather, he's just accepting ideas and accepting more lofty ideas, accepting more ideas and feeling disconnected from the world. One of the most dangerous things is when a person doesn't define to himself what he's talking about. And if a person doesn't define what he's talking about, then he just uses a term which doesn't know what that term means. And then he has term A that he doesn't know what it means, but he knows in the context roughly to use it. Then he carries on learning, and then he has a second term that he doesn't know exactly what it means, but he knows that roughly that in this type of context you use that type of a term. So I don't know exactly what a migu is, how it works, but kind of roughly in this kind of a context I know that you're supposed to use the word migu. I don't know exactly a person what a binyan av is or how it works exactly, but roughly like in this context of A and B and connecting them somehow, and then you can hear a person talking through learning. And he's saying a whole string of words that sound like they should belong together, but he doesn't even know really what he's saying. And if you ask him and you start to say to him, so what would be the case in such and such a case? And you ask him a new case and he doesn't know where to fit that into anything. Because that's a case which he didn't really understand what he was saying. He was just trying to piece together all the words of what he was saying. That person's not connected. That's not going to increase connection with Hashem. You can only be close to Hashem when you understand what you yourself are saying. But you have a connection with what you're saying. It's your thought. You're bringing God down into the world through your understanding. But if you're quoting people who are saying things that they know what they're talking about, but you don't know what you're talking about, you're not bringing Hashem down into the world at that moment because your mind's not actively involved in it. You're just parroting off someone else's thoughts about what that is. But it's not going to be you bringing Hashem down to the world. And therefore, the ultimate goal is Lomed al manat la'asot. Now, la'asot may be really practical, meaning you're learning Hilchos Brachos, you're learning Hilchos Shabbos, you're learning Hilchos... Yeah, Sota is not such a good example. I'm going to leave that for now. Right, but you're Almad La'asot. That could be one example. Or alternatively, it might not be La'asot, meaning exactly what you're doing here or what it says to do. But rather what it means is La'asot, that you are working through the thoughts in your own in unique, independent way. You're part of the process as well. We see from here that in order to get the Ruach HaKodesh, which is lofty, you have to be grounded. Isn't that interesting? You would think, what do you need to have Ruach HaKodesh? That you're flying, you know, that you're disconnected. That's what you think, Ruach HaKodesh. But no, Dafka, Chazal tell us, in order for a person to have Ruach HaKodesh, it has to be that your learning is one which is done in a very grounded manner. Ein shum nafka mina, if you're talking about learning Iyun, or Agarata, or Tanakh, or Kabbalah, everything has to be Lamaisa. So what does Lamaisa mean when you're talking about Kabbalah, you're talking about all these Agarata? What does it mean, Lamaisa? Hakivun Lamaisa is Yirah. Kulo das tachlito kedusha. When we speak about lamaisa, what we mean is yirat shamayim to start with. That when you're learning, you could be learning the most theoretical thing, but the awe that you have of the words of Chazal, the way you relate to it, the way you think it through, that's developing within you yirat shamayim. You could be learning ben sora amora, and there's educational messages to take out. But you could also be learning tumah and tahara, And there's no actual message to take out, just understanding what the type of kli is that we're talking about here, and then whether tumah would apply or wouldn't apply to it. But the awe that you have in studying it, and the, how careful you are about understanding the details, and the respect that you pay to understanding the exact case, and you make sure that you understand it well, that develops Yirat Shamayim. Because you're taking the words of Hashem seriously. That's also called Lamaisa. Even though it's not so Lamaisa for you today, maybe there's Hashem in the near future, but it's not so Lamaisa today that you know exactly the difference between this type of Kli or that type of Kli and how Tumah Tahara applies. But the fact that you take this topic very seriously, and the way that you relate to it is with Hadras Kodesh, it's an important topic to you. That means Das Hashem is important to you. Even when it's not so practical for you from moment to moment. And that's the way that a person reaches Ruach HaKodesh. Because when Hashem sees that you're taking His word very seriously, and He sees that you're interested in what He has to say, then as you're moving towards Him, then He's moving towards you. I've mentioned this example many times, it's relevant again here, that often a child or a wife will say something to you that the topic itself doesn't interest you at all. But she's interested to you, the child's interested to you, that's what's important to you. And as you invest in the topic which you wouldn't necessarily invest in, but you are willing to invest in it because the relationship is important, as you speak to your wife, as you speak to your child, and you're listening deeply and intently to what they're talking about, and you develop that, then as you're investing in them, then they have the desire to invest in you as well. And they see you as a partner, someone who cares about them, and they'll be willing to share things, they're willing to listen to you, you can develop a relationship. So when you invest in the will of Hashem, even though it's something you, if it wasn't the will of Hashem, you wouldn't really care about the architecture of 2nd century pottery. It wouldn't really interest you about Maseches Kelim, all the details of how they would make it. Really, it wouldn't. Right? But because this is the will of Hashem, of how the halakha applies to those 2nd century Kelim, that's why you're interested in it. So you're investing in something which is interesting to Hashem. You're taking Hashem's mind, kivichol, seriously. You're investing in Him. And as you do that, then He takes you seriously as well. Lagia et el adam el nukudat atzmo. Umisham novat gam ruach hakodesh. When you take things seriously and you're honest, you're not bluffing anything. You want to understand it. You make sure that you review it again and again until it's clear to you. That you never allow things to pass through your mouth or your mind which you don't really know what you're talking about and you just move on. Because then you're not in touch with yourself. You're not in touch with, did my mind really grapple this idea and come to an understanding of it? And you know, it's fine. It's fine if it's language is beyond you. As long as you clarify what it is you don't know. Yeah, but not just like a very cloudy, I don't know what's going on here, I'll wait for the next sugya. No, it can't be like that. Even if there are points that you know you don't know, but you have to know what you don't know. That's fine. Right? But at least then in your mind, you've clarified everything that you can clarify, and you've left the tzaruch iyo. Rabbi Akiva Eiko had lots of tzaruchings, all the way through Shas. That's totally fine. But what he knew. Right? He was clear on what he did know. And then your mind is clear. You know you understand. And then there's room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell on you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells on, He's Vadai, and He dwells on someone who's Vada, someone who knows what He knows. But if your whole mind is all blurry and not clear because the whole sugya is swirling around without you being able to make order. That's why I've mentioned this also before, but it's very important. It's crucial that whenever you learn any topic, right, it could be the end of a Seder, it could be in the middle of a Seder, but the end of a sugya, it could be the end of learning one Rishon, whatever it is, but the end of certain section, and you can define section, that you pause and you say outside in your own words what you just did. That's the advice that the Ramban gives in the famous Igeret HaRamban. And it's essential. If you move on to a new topic without understanding the first topic, it's bilbul upon bilbul. Right? You're confused about point A and now it's going to become more confusing. The only exception to that, obviously, is if you're reading something which is a perush. Obviously, if you're reading something which is coming to explain something else, then it's fine that you weren't clear on everything fully. You read the perush, then you go back to the original source. That's then obviously that's what you're doing. That's the whole goal, is to get more clarity. But you cannot move on to a next source, which is going to be building on the last source, right? If you don't have it, it would make more sense for a person, for a chavrusa, to spend the entire seder on the pshat Gemara Rashi Tosfos and not see any rishonim, and come into the shir without having seen any rishonim, but the Gemara they understand very well. That makes more sense than the Gemara is not so clear. But they feel this pressure to see what's on the Marma Komos. So they go to the first Rishon, don't really understand what it's saying, because they can't. It's impossible to without understanding the Gemara. And then add on another Rishon, and then if Chasrishon gets to an Acharon, like what hope do you have? There's no hope if you're building upon things that don't make sense. Right? It makes more sense that primary source, spend as much time as you need. Then you're being authentic. And what you understand, you understand. There's no bluffing, there's no pretending, there's no blurriness. Hashem, as you come towards Him and you have clarity on the primary things, Hashem comes towards you as well. And that's why Chazal say an amazing thing. That's where Ruach HaKodesh comes in. So 2 points that he wants to make. Point number one. Lahamid ma'aseh mushlam legamrei hu atzmo ma'advir ma'kashirim biyoter v'hu atzmo b'china al Ruach HaKodesh. So point number one that the Alei Shor wanted to say was that in order for something to be perfect is almost impossible. So the fact that you always are working on something to perfect the action, and perfect the action, and perfect the action, you don't have to perfect something theoretical. You know? If something's theoretical and you're just learning it and you leave lots of loose ends, that's okay. It doesn't really make a difference because anyway, it's just being left out there. So you don't have that need to work on yourself more, work on your understanding more when a topic is a theoretical topic. But let's say you're an engineer and you're building a machine. Yeah? You can't leave open ends. Right? It's going to work or it's not going to work. If you're making a recipe, right, and you're missing half the ingredients, you can't just say, okay, well, I'll put it in the oven as I have. You know, like you could be missing like crucial things. Like they won't make it able to rise and it won't cook well. When something is aimed towards lema'aseh, you know you need shleimus. You can't be satisfied with half things. And therefore, as long as you can, as much as you can, aim your learning towards something practical, which is why it's tremendous, tremendous, Eitzah Tova, if you have time, and it's worthwhile making time. Anytime you're learning a sugya, any sugya, look up the Shulchan Aruch on that sugya. It doesn't take more than another 5 minutes at the end of a sugya. You just look at the Ber Hetev, you see the Shulchan Aruch. And nowadays, in these Oz V'Hadar Gemaras, they even have the Shulchan Aruch printed in the back. And I'm not saying now get into the whole halacha lemaisa, seeing shutim and what does Rav Moshe Feinstein say. I'm not saying to go so far. Just read the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, if you have time for both. Right? Even if you're not going to be doing iyun on them, but just the fact that you see how the Gemara got to the halacha, that trains your mind into being more mushlam. You have to think, how does that apply in a practical way? And even if you're learning Hilchos Gittin and you're learning language, which is not so practical for you, ever. The fact that you see how the Gemara goes to the Lamaisa, you're forced to think in a more practical way. And then you have to be more complete in what you're saying, because you can't read the Halacha Lamaisa and say, whoa, where did that come from? When you read a Rishon, you don't know where it came from, it doesn't bother you as much. Because, okay, I don't know, he's, you know, Das Yachid over here. I don't know what he's doing. But when you read Shulchan Aruch, even if you're not practicing the Halacha right now, but you know this is practice, Jewish practice, it's Mechayev you on some level. Even if you're not a Dayan, but it's Mechayev Am Yisrael. You feel much more of a sense of obligation of knowing how did the Shulchan Aruch get to where he got to. Right? It's not just the Das Yachad, this is the Halacha. And then a person comes to more of a Shleimus in that area. B'ma haya kocho shel Yaakov Avinu yoter gadol b'ze she'ra lo cholam musulam o b'ze she'vehikatzo yareh hitcharet she'yashan b'makom kadosh zeh hikim matzeva yasad migdash v'nadart nidro. What was greater in what Yaakov Avinu did? A, that he had the dream. Or B, that once he woke up, he recognized that he was in a holy place, and he immediately built a matzeva, and he determined that's where the mikdash is going to be, and he made a neder. What's greater? The first thing's not so great. Hashem just gives it to you. It's amazing when a person has a flash of inspiration. If you suddenly have an idea, right? But it's not your doing so much. It's true that you built the setting for it, and obviously you prepared yourself spiritually or intellectually for such a flash of inspiration to come by. And if you were always half sleeping, then it's unlikely something like that would happen. But nevertheless, it was a gift. It just came to you. That doesn't express your greatness. What expresses your greatness is the lamaisa that you do as a result of anything that happens. When you learn something and you say, well, let me act upon that. When you hear something and someone's in trouble and you say, well, let me act upon that. Rav Lapian told an amazing story on Leil Shabbos. I joined his class. We're here for Shabbos. From his high school, and I joined in the tish that he gave to his Talmidim. He told, it's a long story, I don't want to tell the whole story, I'm sure I'll tell it to you one day, but the point of the story was, there was someone who was in a time of need, and a friend of his drove 3 hours in each direction at night, and then had to drive another hour and a half back to bring the car back to someone else who needed it the following morning, just to help someone who had a bit of a need. Right, which was 4.5 hours driving at night time. Right, now that's someone, only someone who's geared his mind towards Lemaisa. That's the way that he thinks, where anything that you hear has to be acted upon. He will be able and open and prepared to do such a thing. Many people will hear that and they'll go, oh, what's he going to do? And they'll kind of leave it like that. Oh my gosh, he's in big trouble. And in a good case, I'll say, oh, I'll say a parak of Tehillim for him. Okay, that's nice of you. At least he took action. Thank you. But what about really taking action and doing something about it? People whose minds are learning Iyun without the gear towards Lemaisa, they're willing to like leave things in theoretical and say someone needs help. Okay, batzalocha to him. Good luck. People whose minds are geared towards Lemaisa, they're always looking for, well, what does that mean? What action are we going to take? What are we going to do about it? Yaakov Avinu's greatness wasn't expressed in the fact that he had the dream. His greatness expressed was after he had the dream, he immediately acted upon it. He saw an opportunity of Kedusha. He said, what am I going to do? How can I do this? I remember it happened to me once that, I don't remember this. Oh, yeah. It was my son's bar mitzvah. And I felt an overwhelming gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have a son who's learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, surrounded by friends who are all like geared towards the same direction. I didn't live through the Holocaust, Baruch Hashem, and actually none of my family did, distant family did, but none of my immediate family did. But nevertheless, I still had this image of boys his age, not surviving, not continuing, and many of those who did, not with the will to learn Torah. And I was at his bar mitzvah and I saw, like, here's a group of boys who have chavivas haTorah. They enjoy learning. They want to learn. They're finishing Shas Mishnayos. They're finishing Masechtas. I just felt an overwhelmed feeling of gratitude towards Hashem. And that Friday night, his bar mitzvah, yeah, his bar mitzvah was on Leil Shabbos. This was on Shabbos. So that Leil Shabbos, or maybe it was the next Leil Shabbos after the whole, like, bar mitzvah period had just happened. We were davening in the kollel. We're having the kollel, it was early Shabbos. And I went back to that feeling of gratitude, and I said to myself, it's not enough that I'm feeling this, I have to act upon it. What am I going to do? I was trying to think what I could do, because I erroneously thought that I was maximizing my time. Like, well, what more can I do? So sometimes when I have that thought, I do something very short term. I'll give an amount of tzedakah, or I'll say an extra one limit for a short period of time. But I felt that it was too big. The emotion that I was feeling was too great to do something small. I felt like I wanted to take on something big. So I took on a project, which I did. I said I'm going to do it for 40 days. And I did it, I think, for 40 days. I think I did a little more, but I did it at least 40 days. That's what I said I would do. I said I'm going to wake up at 5:30. And I'm going to learn an hour of Zvachim before Shacharis. I don't know how I got to that. I think it was because it was something which I never saw that I would end up doing otherwise. Like, it was something which was never going to be in my cycle. And I wanted to do something like unique and devote myself. So I did it for 40 days. And why did it stop? I traveled to Chutz Arutz to recruit for Keren B'Yavne. And that ruined my whole schedule, and I'd already done my 40 days, so then it just kind of came to an end at that point. So I'm still stuck on Daf. I did an Amud day, and I got to Daf Kaf something, and that was my schedule, and it was a feeling of kedusha. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a kedusha where it's not just like you feel amazing, then it just dissipates, just vanishes, but it's a feeling of kedusha where you say, I have to act upon this. I can't let this connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu go to waste. The greatness is not in the fact that you had the feeling. That was the gift. The greatness is, now that you've had the feeling, what are you doing to bring that down to the world? To anchor it in the world? To do an act of Kedusha in the world? Every person thinks of what's relevant to them. But it's always going to be something pushing you a little beyond where you currently are. Something which you should be doing and you're not. Or you could be doing but you're not. Meaning, should be doing but you're not is something which is like, it's actually halachic and you should be doing it. But for whatever reason, you're not doing it. Or if there's nothing like that or nothing like that you're aware of, then something you could be doing, but you're not. You know, you could take the next step. Always choose something. It doesn't have to be 40 days. It could be one day. But there has to be some. Whenever you have this feeling of connection with Hashem, gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that you feel is unique, what are you doing? What are you going to take on? Lefi devarenu, enenu me'izim od lachriya bezeh. Hachalom idargah benavuah, v'amaseh dargah beruch HaKodesh. U'mi yuchal lagid heimenayo adif. Sarishor, he's hesitant. He says, there's Nevuah, there's Ruach HaKodesh. One was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one was Yaakov's investing in. Ein lecha darga yoter gedula miRuach HaKodesh mizo, la'amid ma'aseh mushlam. And that's always the goal, to make an act perfect. And this is all setting us up for what we're aiming towards, which is knowledge of yourself. Because when a person has knowledge of himself, then he'll know what to take on, how to do it on a more lamaisa way. Some people, what they need to take on is holding back from certain things. Because they're pushing themselves so much that they're burning out. And for them, when they have an experience like this of taking on something, what am I going to calm down from? Maybe. Right? What am I going to get to bed earlier on time so that I can have the next day? It's not always taking on more. Sometimes it's having life balance. And that's why you need to know yourself. You need to have self-knowledge, because you can just copy someone else's. And let's say someone else in this room would say, that's it, great idea. I'm going to wake up 5:30 and learn Zvachim. Maybe. And it could be it's perfect. But it could be that it would ruin you. I don't know. You have to know yourself. It's very individual. Point number two that Alisha wants to make. Thank you. Hakivun ala ma'asehu gam ken aderech lagi ala madregas ruach hakodesh atzma. Vedafka lo ha-machshava bedavrim nizgavim ha-mufshatim me'olam ha-maaseh, ela ha-nukuda ha-maasit. Kefi she-divrei ha-tana, dibei Eliyahu, me'id alai alei shamayim va'aretz, bein ish ve'isha, bein eino Yehudi, bein eino Yisrael, bein eved, bein shivcha, ha-kol lefi ma'asav shel adam ruach ha-kodesh shoreh alav. Right, again, it's saying the same principle, emphasizing this aspect of it. A person wants to reach great heights. One may think, falsely, that reaching great heights means disconnecting yourself from the world. From that first quote in Chazal, and now from another quote of Chazal, it says, how does a person reach Ruach HaKodesh? Jewish, not Jewish, man, woman, servant. Lefi ma'asav. Based on the practical acts of what you're doing. And what's really amazing about this, I don't know if you've ever read, but sometimes you read these kuntrasas or Hasidic works or Kabbalistic works, which speak about the groups of people who gathered together and they took Kabbalahs upon themselves in order to grow. There's a book, B'nei Machshava Tov, if you've ever seen it, by the Piyotzetz and the Rebbe, and there are other works like that. And it's so interesting that often what they take on is not, we're going to contemplate on 26 ways of saying Hashem's name backwards and forwards and upwards and downwards and three times back. It's not those kind of unusual Kabbalistic ideas, but rather what they take on as a group are very practical Ben Adam L'Chavero things. Very down-to-earth ideas. And you think, what, you reach the highest level of Kabbalah, and then what do you talk about there? And you talk about very practical things? I can talk about practical things on a practical level too. But there's a difference. There's a practical level without depth of thought. Then there's depth of thought. And then there's practical level with depth of thought. That's what we're aiming towards. HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed us that we would be involved in the world. We would be bringing Kedusha down to the world. He doesn't need angels. He's got enough of those who are disconnected from the world. He doesn't need animals. He's got enough of those who are in the world but not connected to a higher source. Hashem made man in such a way that we're half animal and half angel. We have elements of us that are animalistic and elements of us that are spiritual. And our goal is to reach high levels and then bring that down to the world. I don't want to go into this whole topic now, and I have mentioned it once before on a Shabbos morning shiur. But the way the Beis HaMikdash is designed is that you come into Har HaBayis, you go into the Machane Shechina, you go into the Kodesh, you go into the Kodesh Kodashim, and you don't stay there. Only the Kohen Gadol goes there, only one day a year, and it's only there for a split second, just enough to put the fire pan down, put the incense on, and then afterwards he comes back in to clear it out. In fact, I'm sure everyone knows it from the Yom Kippur davening, how long is his tefillah? They says that, you finally, once a year, you get the chance. It's two sentences. The whole tefillah. If it's going to be a hot year, maybe rainy. If it's rainy, maybe hot. And then maybe miscarriages. And then he goes out. And did you hear what his tefillah was? About rain and about miscarriage. The physical things. Isn't that amazing? And then he doesn't stay there for a long time at all. He goes back out to the Kodesh, Machane Shechina, back to Har HaBayis. What's the Jewish path? It's not to stay on Har HaBayis, because there things are still mundane. It's not to go into the Kodesh Kodashim and remain there, because they are disconnected. The goal is to go into the Kodesh Kodashim and then come back out to Har HaBayis. And now, after you've had a connection to the inner world and you've had a connection to Ruchnius, you've had a flash of inspiration, you've had a connection with Hashem, you come back down to the practical world, and how are you applying that now? You're not an animal because you've connected to Hashem. You're not an angel because you come back down to the world. Like in Yaakov's dream, the angels were going up and then down. They went up to get Kedusha from Hashem and then they'll come back down again in order to invest it in the physical world. Our goal as a Jew is to bring Shechina into this world. And therefore, any lofty level that we're reaching, and we're going to speak in the more in the future about understanding ourselves more, is not with the goal of understanding ourselves and then being disconnected from the world. Rather, everything that our minds has to be geared towards is, now that I know this about myself, what am I doing with it? How am I devoting myself to the world? How am I helping other people? How am I bringing more kedusha to the world? Any knowledge that you have about yourself is mechayev. It obligates you to be more active in the world. It's not that you become more of a philosopher and you sit back on your chair and give lectures, but rather it's you become more of a man of action and you become invested in the world. And he finishes off with a final phrase. Ruach HaKodesh is found specifically in areas where people are being practical. We're not talking here about disconnected acts, rather acts that are based on one's thought, acts of a Talmud Chacham. Acts that are not based on thought are animalistic acts. We're not discussing those. Those are more instinctive. We're talking about acts that a person's thought through how he's bringing Ruach HaKodesh down into the world. Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh, mikodesh ma'asim tovim shebechem. The Midrash says, if you wish there to be Kedusha in the world, it comes through the good deeds that are within you. So we finished with Siyat Yishmaya, the introduction to the introduction. There's three introductions. We finished introduction 1 and 2, and now there's one more page of introduction 3, and then we'll be on Perek Rishon. So Be'ez Hashem, one or two more days, and we're starting this section. Yishar Koach. Next time we'll get it. Well, now I know, it's the beginning. Maruch HaRishon. The Simcha.